Called Emmanuel. right, church, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Hey, before we hit those seats, find somebody, tell them hello, tell them good morning, tell them you love them, and thank you for coming. Well, good morning, church, and of course, good morning to everybody who's joining us online. We are glad you are here, and as we start this morning, we're jumping into our Christmas series. We've kind of finished up Miscellaneous Matters and looking at discipleship, and now we're going into Unwrapping Christmas, and we're really doing this over the next 3 weeks, and we'll be in the Gospels and looking at the birth narrative of Jesus, and kind of like Christmas morning when you start to unwrap those gifts. You know, we're going to look at God's Word. We're going to start to unwrap it and really see what's so important. Why is it so important that we have, the recording of Jesus Christ coming, and what's its significance? And really, my prayer for us through this all is that we'd really approach it like children. I mean, like those kids, when you're 5 or 6 and Christmas morning is coming and you can't even go to sleep at night because you're so excited for those gifts under that tree. And we're going to look at the gift of Jesus, and I want us to just be in awe, to be happy, to be excited, so much so that we can't sleep at night. Man, we want to come back next Sunday. We want to bring somebody with us because Jesus is so, so good. And we're starting this morning in the biology of Christmas. So looking at, hey, why Jesus came and the way he came and why that is so important. But before we jump into the text, we'll be in Matthew. We've got some Christmas gift, I would say, ideas, but really what they are is I've asked a few of you this week. I said, hey, what is your most memorable Christmas gift? And I mean, I want a physical Christmas gift that you got. So this one here is from Mr. Jack LaBar. If you don't know what this is, this is an Erector set. Okay? Great gift for the kids. Jack was real excited. I'm sure his dad was just miserable after he gave it. Because if you leave any of these pieces on the floor and dad steps on them, it's a bad day. I don't know if that ever happened to Mr. LaBar, but... So he said, hey, Erector set, most memorable gift. Second one here, this is from Miss Mary Toms. A pair of skis. She was super excited to get a pair of skis. Now, this isn't Mary up here, okay? It's not Mary behind the helmet. This is an Olympic skier, but she was excited for those pair of skis. I mean, good gift for the body and learning how to ski. Great gift for a Minnesota child, a pair of skis. Now, this next one was not actually the gift that was received, but the gift given. Mary and John Berquist gave a puppy to their youngest daughter, Chelsea. All right, great gift for kids. A lot of responsibility for mom and dad, okay? But a wonderful gift, a lot to enjoy, a lot to pet there. So this next one is Mike and Rilla Anderson, the meat and cheese tray. They'd be like, what? What is this? There's a story behind this. They were like, hey, we were newly married. We didn't have anything. So somebody blessed us with one of those Christmas meat and cheese trays, and they were like, we are so thankful. We were living the high life when somebody gave us this. So, I mean, just some memorable gifts. I'm sure you have one. I mean, you've got that gift. You're like, man, that was so awesome. I was so excited to receive it. But this morning, as we look at the biology of Christmas, we're going to see that Jesus not only came in a special way, not only was he born in a special way, but he saves in a special way. And that's what makes him the greatest gift we could ever receive. So Matthew chapter 1 will be in verses 18 through 25. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be on the screen in front of you. Starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you're so good. You're so loving. You're so gracious. Lord, we pray in our time here this morning as we start to dig into your word, we start to dive in and unwrap it, Lord, I just pray that you would change us. Change us from the inside out. Lord, as we look at the gift of your son and what that really means and how he came, and Lord, I just pray that we'd be like children. We'd be like children seeing it for the first time, experience it for the first time. And Lord, as we continue forth in that call to go and make disciples and we go into this Christmas season, Lord, I pray that we would share it. God, I pray that it would bring us so much joy and so much life and so much peace that we'd tell somebody, hey, you got to come see. You got to come taste. You got to see what Jesus is doing here in this church. Father, I pray as we dive into it for anybody who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, that today would be that day where they give their life to you. Lord, and for your faithful saints here, Lord, I just pray that you would do a mighty work. A work when we look at it, we'd say that can be from nowhere or from God himself. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we read that there, we've been in the Gospel of Matthew really looking at discipleship for really kind of the last 3 to 4 weeks. So we're familiar with the Gospel of Matthew being that first book of the New Testament and how he writes and how he was called to be that disciple of Jesus as that tax collector does, has that radical life change, and he writes all these things as that eyewitness to what is happening in the life and ministry of Jesus. But as we read there in chapter 1, it's backed up to before Matthew was called, and he records the birth, what we call the birth narrative or the birth of Jesus. And as he shares it, I mean, we see that Jesus came not as an ordinary person. He didn't come and he wasn't born as every ordinary child. I mean, it was this supernatural thing that is taking place. Something truly great. And if you have some time this week, I invite you to really start there in verse 1 and read up through verse 17, because in that, Matthew gives the lineage of Jesus. Are all these Old Testament people that you read about in the Old Testament, and then makes this connection from all these people back to Abraham, all the way to Mary and Joseph. All these people that you've read about, all these amazing things that have happened, he says, boom, here's the connection here, and the bloodline's here, and it keeps going, and all of a sudden, it's to the promised Messiah. And Matthew makes these connections because he writes to a predominantly Jewish audience. So they are familiar with all these people as he pens it out. They're like, Abraham, yep, know him. David, yep, know him. And then there's Mary and Joseph, and this is where Jesus comes. And it's that connection from the promised Messiah to the Messiah coming. But as we read there in verses 18 through 25, unlike all those people he names, Jesus comes different. Jesus comes in a special way, the greatest gift coming in the greatest way. And that's what we're going to see through the biology of Christmas. That though we see the Son coming into this world, it's anything but ordinary. And as we look at the biology, first we see that Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God. Now this is very important. We look at Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God. We read verses 18 through 20 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considers these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, there is something here that is happening. When if you really put yourself in that position, ladies in the position of Mary there, men in the position of Joseph, and just really what's going on. We know if you're an adult, you've taken a health class, it takes two to tango, if you will. We won't get into that too deep, but it takes two to make one. So these two are betrothed, in our American sense, engaged to be married. They're both living with their parents separately, and the day's going to come, a year from that time, where these two are going to have their wedding day. They're going to have their wedding day. They're going to live together. They're going to be one flesh before God, and they're going to start to have children. But in this time, in this engagement period, Joseph finds out, well, Mary's pregnant. Kind of a scandal. So he's thinking to himself, I'm sure, what is going on here? How is all this working? And we read that he says, okay, you know what? Instead of putting Mary to shame, instead of publicly divorcing her, which would have put her to shame, would have put her family in that same category, he says, you know, I'm going to do it behind the scenes. This is going to be a quiet thing. We're just going to both separately go our own ways, and everything will be fine. But God steps in, and he sends this angel to really tell Joseph, hey, this is, I know what you're thinking, but this is really what's going on. Is that what Mary carries in her womb is from God, is conceived by the Spirit of God. Now, why is this important? Well, as we're going to see as we continue to unwrap the text, that, hey, this has to happen because if Jesus, who is eternal, the Son is eternal with the Father as well as the Holy Spirit, is born in a natural way, then what does a human being take on as they're born naturally? Sin. As we move into this next truth here, we're going to see that Jesus is without sin because he's special. So if Jesus comes and he's not conceived by God, not conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is not God. And this isn't Jesus being created. We can't fall into that trap. Jesus is eternal. The Father's eternal, and the Holy Spirit's eternal. And we read that in Revelation, where he says, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. We look at the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You even see it at the beginning of Genesis, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all present at creation. Before the creation of the world, God is there. After everything, God is there. He is not created. He doesn't cease to be created. He's eternal. So as the Son comes in here, as Jesus is conceived by the Spirit of God, it is the Word becoming flesh in the womb of Mary. This is wonderful. Now, I was sitting at my desk this week, and as I'm studying this week, you know, if you've been in the church for a while, you've really heard this. I'm like, well, Lord, how do we, I mean, we hear this every year. We preach from the same Bible. It's the same story. It doesn't change. How do we make this fresh? And how do I explain to people that somehow, some way, through your power, the Spirit of God planted in Mary the Son of God? Here's what I came up with. You ready? Get your pens out. I don't know. Okay? It's there. It's truth. God, through his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence, he does it. How many of y'all are around Christmas time, and maybe not even around Christmas time, but just throughout the, you watch the Hallmark Channel? Any ladies love the Hallmark Channel? Okay? Any men secretly love the Hallmark Channel? Around Christmas time, on the Hallmark Channel, they play those Christmas movies, and they're all the same. Spoiler alert, okay? Big city gal, okay? Working in New York City, Chicago, wherever it may be, works in a corporate building. Life's in shambles. Oh, it's so bad. It's around Christmas time. She's lonely. She goes back to her hometown, small town like Pequot Lakes or Pine River. She comes back for Christmas, falls in love with the blue-collar working man who's a little rough around the edges, and, the flame reignites, and they're about to fall in love, but there's a big problem somewhere. That's really where the only time the movie changes. They got the big problem to overcome, and you're like, I can't wait for the Christmas miracle. They need the Christmas miracle to fall in love. The Christmas miracle happens. They fall in love. They live happily ever after. Hallmark movie over. On to the next one, which is the exact same thing. Different characters. But we all truly yearn for the Christmas miracle. We want something amazing to happen. We need the miracle to happen. And we look at the biology of Christmas. Hey, the miracles happen. The miracles happen where God has stepped down from heaven. He's making the way where there is no way to redeem his people. And it starts by Jesus being conceived by the Spirit of God in Mary. But secondly, as we move on, we see that not only is Jesus conceived by the Spirit of God, but through the biology of Christmas, Jesus came as the Son of God. Jesus came as the Son of God. Let's look at verses 21 through 23. She will bear a son. This is the angel speaking to Joseph. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew's connecting it back to the prophet Isaiah. And this angel is speaking all these things to Joseph, and he says, which means God with us. Now, not only is it important that when we look at the biology of Christmas, that Jesus was conceived by the Spirit of God, but Jesus, as he's born, as the Word becomes flesh, he doesn't just come as man. He comes as God. Because all this stuff that we look at, all this stuff we're going to dive in for the next 3 weeks, and we've gone over this whole year, is all centered around Jesus. That Jesus steps down, he becomes flesh, he is born, he's completely holy, completely righteous, dies on a cross for our sins, is raised from the grave on the third day. If Jesus is not God, then none of it matters. Because all of us are going to die. All of us are going to pass away. But Jesus' death is something truly special because Jesus came as God. And as we read this and we know the facts, as Joseph is taking all this in, this angel is saying, okay, this child that Mary has is conceived by the Holy Spirit. It's God in the flesh, but I'm not the Father. Well, then who is the Father? Who's the Father of this child? And this is where, if you go back to that lineage there in the beginning of chapter 1, Matthew does something very distinct. And if you're not careful, you really miss it. And he gives it there in verse 16. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Notice what Matthew doesn't do there. He doesn't say, Joseph, the father of Jesus. He connects Joseph to Mary as Mary's husband. Because the Father is the Father in heaven. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. He comes as the Son of God, the one who is promised all throughout the Old Testament. And this is something that not only the conception of Jesus by the Spirit of God, but as he comes as the Son of God, I mean, it's precious to us. It's precious to us because it's the Word become flesh, fully God, fully man, which shows us the nature that he's got a human nature and a divine nature. We just talked about the loss that we experience as a congregation and for our brothers and sisters, Arnie and Karen, as Zachary passed away at the beginning of this week. But what brings a whole lot of comfort is that human nature of Christ, that Jesus was like us in every fashion. He had skin, he had hair, he had muscles underneath his skin, he had bones. He walked through that same stuff that we walk through. We even read that he wept at the loss of Lazarus. We see that he's tempted in every way to sin, but he doesn't sin. So he processed emotions. He went through trials and temptations. He went through grief and loss and sadness and joy and happiness. All as he became flesh, which makes him so relatable to those things we walk through. So he can step in and say, I know how you're feeling. I know what you're walking through. I know what comfort you need. I know I need to step in right here because you are feeling completely overwhelmed and you don't know where to turn, but I'm here. That's that human nature we see as the Word becomes flesh, but also as we see that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, that he's coming from heaven, from the Father, becoming flesh. We have his divine nature. That Jesus, not only is he fully human, but he's fully God. That he's completely holy, completely righteous, without sin, as he walks this earth and does his ministry and goes to the cross. Remember, we looked at it. If Jesus is not God, all this is worthless. It's nothing to celebrate, but that's not the case. Matthew shows us that divine origin, the angels, the messenger to that divine origin of Jesus. And that Jesus comes as the Son of God. And when we look at the conception and his coming and why these things are so great for us as believers and why they're so important, not only do we see the human nature and the divine nature, but one of the things that I'm sure we yearned after this year was, Lord, show me. We looked at Christian living and living a holy life. We said, Lord, show me what that looks like. How do I love? How do I minister? How do I make disciples? Well, as Jesus comes, he is the Son of God. We see that he's the image of God. He's God in the flesh. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. He is the image, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He is not a mere reflection. It's God in the flesh. So when we look at how we truly live this Christian life, we look no further than Jesus. Jesus is the greatest example of how we are to love. Jesus is the greatest example of how we are to forgive, how we are to live a life pursuing holiness. When we read all throughout the Gospels, Jesus is our example. We don't serve a God who just hides away and says, you know what, my sons and daughters, figure it out, bumble through the darkness and make a bunch of mistakes and eventually it'll all work itself out. He says, no, I stepped down. I emptied myself to walk among you, to do the things you do, to show you exactly how to live. But now when we take this biology of Christmas, that Jesus is conceived by the Spirit of God, that he comes as the Son of God, what these make possible is Jesus covering our sin as Savior. That's our last thing here. We look at the biology. Jesus came not only as the Son of God, but Jesus came covering our sin as Savior. The perfect sacrifice that Jesus is as he goes to the cross is only made possible by these first two things. Because if Jesus never comes, we can't claim his shed blood. We can't look to his resurrection. If he's not conceived in this special way, he's not God. He's a human like me and you. And that blood is not good enough. That life doesn't atone for our sins. But since Jesus comes in a special way, he's born in a special way, he saves in a special way. Let's look at verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son and called his name Jesus. Joseph wakes from this dream after this angel of the Lord just lays it all out for him. Hey, this is what's going on. He faithfully and obediently follows the guidance that God gives him. And he names this son Jesus. Yeshua. Which brings great significance to the birth narrative. Because when you look at that Hebrew meaning of that name, it's God saves and God rescues. It's exactly what Jesus is going to do. He is going to save and he is going to rescue his people from sin. And it only can be made right by the shed blood of Jesus on that cross. Because he's without sin, without blemish, without the fallenness that we have as human beings. He saves us in that very special way. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, we read, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." That's the only thing. As much as we'd love to have it be something else, works, as much as we'd like it to be church attendance, Bible studies, listening to Christian music as much as we can on the radio, none of that stuff saves us from our sin. It's only the blood of Jesus. And it's only made possible because God, through this supernatural way, brings forth his son to be born of a virgin, to have a supernatural birth, coming as the Son of God to die on the cross for sinners like us. That's what truly makes Christmas special. And it's really got greater significance when you look at how all this has taken place. How before the foundation of time, God knew how he was going to redeem his people. He didn't just make it up one day. He knew how he was going to do it. He knew why he was going to do it. And he knew we needed it more than ever. We're going to close out here for this morning, but I just really want us to bring this home. Talking about unwrapping Christmas. We shared some of those fun gifts, some of those very memorable gifts, and we all have them. We probably haven't kept those gifts, but we all know what they were. A lot of times there's those gifts that very much get passed over. very much, and if you got kids, you've seen it before. They start to unwrap gifts, and they're super excited, and then they pull out the pair of wool socks, and they look at it like, oh, yeah, thanks, Mom and Dad. Let me move on to the next shiny object. But one day, they're outside, and their feet are freezing, and they're cold, and they look at you, and they go, hey, do you remember where I put those wool socks? I could really use them. Or maybe they put them on and like, hey, I'm so thankful that I got this. Church, Jesus, for a lot of us, is the gift we never knew we needed. Is the gift until we realize that we are sinners only saved by the grace of God, that we look and say, wow, what a gift I would have never known I needed, but God, you gave it. Don't pass it over. Don't pass it over. Don't forget about it. So I invite you, if you've never accepted that gift, it's still waiting. Jesus waits for you. And he says, all you got to do is take it. All you got to do is call on my name. All you got to do is believe in your heart that I died for your sins on that cross. That I rose from that grave. And this gift is free, forever yours. And maybe you've been walking with Jesus for quite some time and you've accepted that gift. Well, the same thing with a lot of those gifts. Over time, we forget about them. We put them in the closet. They collect dust. We don't really care about it anymore. Well, hey, I want you to be in awe this Christmas. I want you to be in awe of who Jesus is, how he came, and why he came. I want you to never forget that his shed blood is still enough. That the miracle has happened. That there's still power in the name of Jesus. That he still saves. He still redeems. He's still the life giver. Stand in awe this morning that God stepped down to save you, to save me. Now let's have a heart of thankfulness. Christmas time is so easy to get busy. Get busy and get wrapped up in the to-do list and all the places you got to be, all the people you got to see, all the food you got to cook. Take a pause. Take a pause from all that. And be thankful for the gift, the everlasting gift you received in Jesus. I'm going to invite you. We're going to bow our heads together. And I just pray that the greatest gift could bring the greatest change in our lives. I just invite you from your seat and heads bowed, you before the Lord, the altar of your heart. What is it that God has put on your heart this morning? Maybe it's accepting that gift. Maybe it's changing your thoughts and your attitudes to say, Lord, I'm so thankful for where I am. I'm so thankful for the life you've given me. Lord, I pray in the middle of this Christmas season that I could shine your light to those around me. Or maybe it's just a sense of honesty. To say, wow, God, you do the impossible. You send the miracle. You can do all things. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for who you are. Lord, for your love, that you would step down, that you would send your son. God, that you would make us new. Lord, that you would give us the greatest gift we could ever receive, even when we didn't want it, even when we didn't know we needed it. You sent it. Father, I pray if anybody needs that gift this morning, that they'd start to unwrap it. And if that's you, I just invite you to, right there from your seat, all you got to do is call in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are my King, you are my Lord, you are my Savior. My life is yours. You paid that debt for my sin on that cross. You rose again from that grave, conquering sin and conquering death. And that's my picture. That's my future. And if you have it, Lord, our prayer is that you would change us. That we wouldn't see Christmas as dull or as routine or as traditional. But Lord, we'd see it as special. As a miracle. As a time where we lift up your name for sending a Savior into this world to die for our sins and give us new life. We love you, thank you, and praise you. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I invite you to stand. We're going to sing together. And I invite you up front is open here. If you'd love somebody to pray with you, I'd love to be there for you. But if God's calling you, I pray that you'd come.
Across the pages of time, He who made every living thing, behold Him. He who heard humanity's cry, left His throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us, behold. We hold.